Welcome to the first edition of ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Audio. I am Jason Powell, and let me say from the start that the plan is to go 5 days a week, presumably Monday through Friday, and before you start complaining and nitpicking and saying that that's not daily if it's not 7 days a week, I do direct you to the precedent-setting Daily Show on Comedy Central, which also runs Monday through Friday. Just work with me here, folks. But, you know, while this episode may run a little bit longer due to it being kind of an introduction of sorts, the goal is to give you guys shorter audio updates that you can check out during your commute to work or on your lunch break or really any time without requiring you to invest a large chunk of time. And, you know, we're still going to be doing long-form audio shows for .NET members, including the .NET Weekly Audio Show, which I host along with a guest, and we discuss all the news of the week, oftentimes include first-run news items that haven't been reported elsewhere. I still do my Q&A audio show for the members. We have long-form television show and pay-per-view reviews that will be available exclusively to the members as well. We're still feeling things out as far as the schedule is concerned for the daily all-access content, but I think it's safe to say that Monday is going to be kind of a discussion of any notable weekend events and then kind of a look ahead to the rest of the week. And you'll also hear portions of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast hosted by Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett. That's normally a member-exclusive feature, and we are bringing portions of that show over to the all-access side so you can get a feel for what those guys do. They do a great show together. I really enjoy it, and I think you guys will as well if you've never checked it out. We've had the occasional all-access versions of that show released, but you're going to be hearing more of it than ever before. And then also, I know what I'm going to be doing on Tuesdays, but I'll just encourage you to check back tomorrow to find out. And again, we're still very much feeling this out, and if there's things you like, if you have any questions, suggestions, comments, send them directly to me at dotnetjason@gmail.com. dotnetjason@gmail.com. If you are a .NET member, you can also visit the new .NET audio section that I've set up in the forum. And if you enjoy our audio, I definitely encourage you to subscribe through iTunes, wherever you get your audio. I also ask take a moment to rate our audio content, as that is going to help us spread the word. We're really excited about beefing up our audio content on the All Access side and on the member side in 2016. And we also have upgraded our ad-free website, and the new members website should be available this week, perhaps even later today. We've also overhauled the apps for Apple users, and we're hopeful that the Android update will occur sometime this week as well. So a lot of new things, a lot of fun stuff here in 2016, and I'm going to try to keep it brief today. But if you enjoy our all-access audio content, I encourage you, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net and explore our membership options to the ad-free version of the website. You'll hear all that audio content I mentioned. You'll have access to the forum, and I really think you would enjoy it. If you enjoy what we do on the all-access side, I think you'll find that our pricing is some of the best out there. You can start for as low as $5.50 a month if you take our annual option. If you just want to try it out for a month and see if it's a good fit for you, $7.50 is the price point. Again, find the information on that on the main page. We'll talk more about membership in the future, obviously. But enough with the introduction today. I want to talk about what a huge week this is in pro wrestling. It started last night with, technically early this morning with New Japan Pro Wrestling's Wrestle Kingdom 10 event that was held at the Tokyo Dome. I stayed up until about 4 a.m. Central watching the first part of the show, watch the rest of it later today. I did not intend to stay up until 4 a.m. My plan was to maybe watch the first hour or hour and a half, maybe, of this thing, and I watched the Battle Royal, and that didn't scare me away. And then whatever the hell that was, that the movie thing, that whatever the, oh my God, if you've seen the show, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I can't even do it justice. There was some strange Japanese movie thing that was it's a promotion, I think, is what the idea was. That woke me right up. And then the actual show itself definitely kept me going. And so, again, I was up, through the Kushida match last night, and then got up and watched the rest today. And it's just an excellent show. I highly recommend checking out New Japan World to see this event. And it's, if you're not familiar with it, very similar to WWE Network. And price-wise, I think it's actually cheaper than WWE Network. So definitely check it out. You can still watch this show via video on demand. I believe it was like every match but one match on the show was a title match, and that can be a bit much, but still, but we got several title changes occurred The main two titles, though, stayed with the champion, as Okada beat Tanahashi in the main event to retain the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, and Shinsuke Nakamura defeated AJ Styles to retain the Intercontinental Championship. Both matches off the charts good, lived up to the tremendous hype. I think I enjoyed Nakamura's match on last year's show more than the actual main event between Tanahashi and Okada, and it's very close again. I mean, it's hard to say because both matches were just excellent. I also loved that Kushida and Kenny Omega match. I thought the show was really good up until that point, but I thought the match really kicked things into gear nicely. And I do need to go back and watch the Shibata and Ishii match again. I was kind of distracted working on some things this morning while that was playing. And then after reading Will Pruitt's review, it's like, okay, I definitely need to give this a second viewing just because Will was raving about it. If you haven't done so, definitely check out Will Pruitt's live coverage review on our main page. Will stayed up all night basically doing a live coverage review of this show, just as I did last year for Wrestle Kingdom 9, and Will did a great job, so you can get his thoughts on the main page at ProWrestling.net, and I can't recommend this enough. You know, last year it was a lot of fun to cover the pay-per-view with Jim Ross on commentary, and kind of get, for me, an introduction to New Japan. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of it over the years, but to see New Japan on its biggest stage of the year, you know, this is their WrestleMania. It has amazing, I thought this year the stage presentation was better than what we saw last year. I was, Nakamura's entrance left a little bit to be desired this time around, but still, compared to last year, but I just thought the lighting and just some of the things that they did, I mean, this, if you didn't see last year's pay-per-view, you've never seen a Wrestle Kingdom event, you'll be blown away. I mean, it is WrestleMania-like. It's a dome setting with just a tremendous stage and everything, and so I definitely say check this show out. I only have a couple of knocks regarding Wrestle Kingdom. First, the commentary. You know, Kevin Kelly does a nice job with Ring of Honor. When he and Steve Corino are paired together, they're probably my favorite current duo as far as the big three are concerned. I'm not even going to count Mauro Ranallo and Josh Barnett in that, just because they're calling New Japan, and I don't see that show every week, and it's kind of a best of. Now, those guys do great work too, but I really like Kevin Kelly's work with Steve Corino in Ring of Honor. He's just kind of adequate at best with New Japan play-by-play, and maybe that will change in time as he gets more familiar with the product. I don't think it helps that his broadcast partners were Matt Shoutout Stryker and Yoshitatsu. I think they do more harm than good a lot of times. And, you know, I go back and forth on Stryker in general. I like him in Lucha Underground. I think he brings something to that show. He does the whole educating the listener, or the viewer in this case, I think works on that show more than it does in other areas. And I thought he was good with Jim Ross last year, but I kind of feel like he needs someone like Jim Ross to either rein him in, or maybe he just respects Ross enough that he just kind of toned it down a bit. He kind of knew where the parameters were, and he's kind of all over the place without Jim Ross there. Yoshitatsu just really didn't offer anything to the broadcast. I thought, you know, last year they had some segments where there were some speaking, and I thought maybe he was there to translate, but they really didn't need him for that until the very end of the show when we heard from Okada after the match. He didn't even do a good job of that. He was lousy at that. So I don't know what they thought Yoshitatsu was going to bring to the broadcast team, but it really didn't work. And that was disappointing. I would say the only other knock, and it's not really a knock, it's just kind of sad when I think about it. It was really cool to see the Ring of Honor title defended on the Tokyo Dome show. It was Jay Lethal against Michael Elgin. I didn't like that the match ended with Truth Martini's Book of Truth finish, and it was, you know, it was Jay Lethal hitting Michael Elgin with it, so it wasn't even like it was a truth thing. I'm not like a complete Ring of Honor purist who just complains whenever there's a cheap finish, and I even get the idea of protecting Elgin if he's starting to click in Japan, but there was just something that rubbed me the wrong way about the first ROH title match on the Tokyo Dome show ending with a cheap finish. You know, it was that part was sad when you kind of think about the history of Ring of Honor, but it was still a very good match overall. I thought Elgin, there was something about him in Japan. I don't know if it's the big setting. I don't know what it is. This was the most entertained by Michael Elgin I think I've ever been, because I don't know, there's just something about him in Ring of Honor, that slow walk out there, and he just kind of has the dead eyes. It really doesn't do much for me, but here he's playing to the crowd. He just seemed much more at ease. He just seemed more confident, and so I thought he had a nice outing here, but again, you know, despite a couple of knocks, I thought this was just an excellent show, and if I haven't said it enough, I highly recommend checking it out over at New Japan World. This is the big night for WWE. It's the first Raw of 2016, and the only thing advertised so far is Roman Reigns against Sheamus, with Vince McMahon as the special referee. Curious to see if Vince actually makes all the pin, you know, if he's the in-ring referee who gets down on his hands and knees to make those pin counts, or if he is the special enforcer who stands at ringside. I wouldn't blame WWE if he was the guy at ringside. Just mildly curious to see how that plays out. The hype for the Royal Rumble should really kick in, since they only have two more Raw shows, I think it is, after this, to set up what I feel is typically WWE's second biggest event of the year. SummerSlam, maybe, you know, I think they want that to be bigger than it's been in past years. I thought they really did a nice job with that back in August. But I will have live coverage of Raw tonight, beginning with Raw pre-show notes, as I always do, where you kind of find out what some of the additional matches are, and it's just a half-hour show. So you can follow along with that, and then my actual live coverage of Raw, beginning at, well, when Raw goes on the air, 7 Central, 8 Eastern, at ProWrestling.net. The other thing that makes it such an interesting show for WWE, there's no more Monday Night Football competition. The regular season ended yesterday. Go Vikings. That was a pleasant surprise, although now they play the Seahawks in round one, and good Lord. Anyway, viewership for Raw should increase. I just would think naturally because of the lack of football competition. So this is a big night for WWE to put their best foot forward. They gave us a lot last week. I was kind of surprised that they had Rock make his announcement that he'll be at WrestleMania last Monday rather than saving it for this Monday. They gave us John Cena's return last week. They did all that while opposed by NFL Monday Night Football. And if you're not a college guy, like college football guy like I am, maybe you're going, well, they've got that national championship thing, don't they? That's next week. So I don't know why they loaded up last week's show as much as they did. But, you know, I think obviously with Reigns, Sheamus, Vince out there, a special referee, it looks like this is going to be one of those nights where WWE really tries to go all out. I'm looking forward to that. Tuesday is going to be a lot of fun. We'll have the SmackDown taping for the first show on USA Network. Of course, it'll be airing on Thursday night on USA. John Cena advertised. It will be the debut of Mauro Ranallo on play-by-play. Jerry Lawler indicated, I think on Twitter, somewhere on social media, that he will be working with Mauro Ranallo, but there's no word yet that I'm aware of as to whether Booker T is staying put as well. I was kind of hoping they'd really shake things up. I mean, nothing against the King, and I'm sorry, I've never been a big fan of Booker T as a color commentator, but I was hoping it'd be Corey Graves or, you know, just something new. But we'll see how Mauro does working with Jerry Lawler and or, you know, and maybe another sidekick. I don't know, again, if Booker is going to be there, if they have something else in mind. But I'm really curious to hear Thursday night, which Jake Barnett will be covering live at ProWrestling.net, how Mauro does as the new voice of SmackDown, and just what changes WWE makes. You know, Mauro's done a couple of interviews indicating that he expects this to be a really overhauled product, SmackDown, that is. And so I want to see. If anyone is going to that show, we can certainly use correspondent, and I'll give you the details on that coming up here in just a little bit. Tuesday night also begins the new era of TNA Impact Wrestling, this time on Pop TV. They will be taping a bunch of television beginning tomorrow. They're billing it as live. It's going to air, you know, same day tape delay, essentially. They're going to crown a new TNA champion. The World Title Series semifinals and finals will take place on this supposedly live edition of Impact. And it's another one where, again, I'm excited to see what changes they make. You know, what have they come up with during their downtime? They're teasing that this Miracle Act is going to debut. And I think, I'm not going to give you a spoiler here just for those who are still kind of have managed to avoid it. I think it's pretty, you know, fairly common knowledge as to the ROH wrestler who is going to be showing up. I'll just say that I think that the gimmick is going to be given to that person. I think that's what they have in mind, but I don't know that. Throwing it out there is a possibility. So I'll avoid the spoiler here, but again, that's another show I'll be covering live at ProWrestling.net on Tuesday, Pop TV, 8 Central, and it is available on Dish and DirecTV, pretty much everywhere. It's the old TV Guide channel. It's not in HD, at least on satellite. So you can visit Pop TV's website if you're trying to figure out where the hell this show is located, or I should say where this network is located. And either way, follow along with me tomorrow night. I think it's going to be an interesting show. And then Thursday is the first NXT television taping of the year at Full Sail University in Winter Park, Florida. I mentioned if you're going to SmackDown, any of the Impact tapings, this upcoming NXT show, any show, we could definitely use your help. You can always email me to let me know that you were interested in providing some spoiler reports from TV tapings, or you're going to a house show and you want to pass along a report on that. It can be as basic as the results, folks. Whatever works best for you. DOTNETJason@gmail.com. That's .NETJason@gmail.com. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter. Let me know there as well, @ProWrestlingNet. Final topic of the day, my question of the week. I'm curious to know who you think was the Wrestler of the Year in Ring of Honor. Members, you could submit your responses in the .NET audio section of the forum, and I will end up sharing my thoughts on that particular topic sometime later on in the week, and we'll definitely find ways to get to people more involved in that. But we'll start with members, and if we get some good responses, some interesting responses, I'll be happy to read those on the air and give the members credit on that. Again, that's in the members forum. You can find that new .NET audio section, and I will start a thread on that here before this show goes live. Be sure to check the main page at ProWrestling.net today for the second part of John Moore's TNA 2015 Awards, and Zach Zimmerman and Darren Gutteridge teamed up for their annual NXT Awards. And you can find not only their article on the main page of both the All Access and Members site, but the .NET members also have access to a 71-minute special award show edition that Zach Zimmerman and Darren Gutteridge got together for. And speaking of awards, we will be starting our voting for the official 2015 awards that will be determined by your vote later this week, so keep an eye out for that, again, on the main page at ProWrestling.net. That is going to do it for today. Thank you for listening, and be sure to stop back tomorrow for the next installment of the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Audio Show.